Ladies and gentlemen, record geeks, retired plate spinners, and millennials who want to impress their parents with their record collections. Welcome to the RhinoCast podcast, brought to you by Rhino Records. Get ready for new releases, deep tracks, and conversations with your favorite artists and bands, and balloons for the kiddies. And now, your hosts with the most, Rich Mahan and Dennis the Menace.
On this episode of the Rhino Podcast, Rhino's own John Hughes talks with Marion Gold and Bernard Lloyd of Alphaville about the 35th anniversary of Forever Young.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Dennis.
Are you ready for some synth pop?
You know, I'm ready for anything. I'm good to go.
I and John Hughes, our executive producer, to say that we are new wave era geeks and 80s geeks would be, well, I don't want to speak for John, but for me, it would be the understatement of at least the week. And, well, we are coming upon an amazing anniversary and the first remaster of an iconic record by the German synth-pop band Alphaville.
That's right. It's the 35th anniversary of their landmark release, Forever Young, and Rhino is giving it the super deluxe treatment. It is coming out as a 3-CD, DVD, and LP super deluxe limited edition set.
Marion, Bernard, and Frank had amazing chart success with Forever Young, Big in Japan, Sounds Like a Melody, and these are all featured on this super deluxe release. And John Hughes, executive producer of the Rhino Podcast, had the pleasure of having the band Alphaville in the studio with him. And then it's me geeking out with John about Alphaville.
I think it'll be informative for those folks that aren't familiar with Alphaville. And I think the people that love Alphaville are going to hear something about the release they love so much that they didn't know before.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that people who aren't familiar with the band, they don't know it, but they are, particularly Big in Japan and Forever Young. These are tracks that have never left our lives. They're on soundtracks. They're everywhere. We should definitely get right into the conversation between John Hughes and Alphaville here on the Rhino Podcast.
Thank you, Dennis and Rich. And I am sitting here with Alphaville's Marion Gold and Bernard Lloyd. And we're going to talk a little bit about the new deluxe edition of Forever Young. It's a beautiful package. I don't know if you've seen this yet. It's 12 by 12 hardback book with tons of photos and brand new essays and interviews with the band. And you've got the vinyl on 180 gram. You've got the bonus DVD. I mean, it's just jam-packed with stuff, and I want to thank you guys for being here today. So we're talking about Forever Young, and you can't talk about this album without talking about the title track. So what was the genesis of these songs on the album, and where did the idea come from? Was it just a jam session, or did this come fully formed?
Forever Young was actually the first song that we wrote together, and the former third member of the band, Frank, and me, we started to do some music, and then I called Marion on the phone, and because we needed a singer. I called Marion and asked him if he would have time for a weekend, and then he came over and we played him the music, and he asked for a pencil and a piece of paper, and then he wrote something down, and I didn't realize what he was writing there, and then he said, well, yeah, let's run the music, and then he started to sing Let's Dance in Style, Let's Dance for a While, and I thought at that moment, yeah, something really special is happening here.
I wasn't very sure about it, actually. When it came to the chorus line, you know, Forever, it sounded a bit bland to me, you know, a bit trivial. And I asked Bernard, maybe later on, you know, I do a different kind of chorus. And he said, oh, no, keep it like this. So he saved my ass.
So during the writing process, and you guys are going through this, were you kind of self-editing at the time, or did these songs just come out complete?
Well, there was some editing, you know. The thing was that we didn't have very much equipment at the time because we couldn't afford it. And so, for instance, because we had no reverberation system, you know, I went into the staircase of the house, you know, and sang it there, you know, because there was some reverberation. And so, yeah, we did a few kind of overdubs. You know, we weren't very good, you know, on our instrument at the same time, you know, so... it was all overdubbed then, you know. It was basically the two guys recorded and programmed sequences and drum machine and stuff like that. And then we did a few overdubs, you know, and that was that. But it was done in a quite short amount of time.
Big in Japan was the choice for the first single. Was that your guys' idea or was it the record company's?
It was, in the end, the choice of the record company or publisher, but we agreed to that.
Mm-hmm. But I must say that there was a really important decision, which had been done by Andy Budde, our publisher. And he did a lot of really good decision at that time, because he thought that it would be better. Everybody was, you know, like releasing Forever Young as the first single, and he was the only guy saying no. Big in Japan must be the first single, you know. So there were like a competition between two companies, record companies, you know. And he was then recommended go to that record company who was going to release Big in Japan as the first single. So. That's why we ended up with Warner's, and that was a totally right decision, you know, to do that, you know, coming up with the mid up tempo number first, you know, before you're coming up with this more ballad kind of.
Unfortunately, Big in Japan wasn't that big hit in the U.S. versus other territories when it originally came out. Did that shock you guys back then? Did you expect more from it in the U.S.?
I didn't. I mean, it didn't surprise me very much because, I mean, if you want to do something in America, you have to come over and play. Well, playing was our problem, not only in America. So because we basically a studio-based unit. And, I mean, we were fans when we started. We were fans of music and we were fans for certain artists like Bowie and Roxy Music, whatever. And we just recreated. We were, because of the technology that came up at that time, you know, we were able to create, to realize our dreams, you know, the crazy ideas we had in our minds. You know, nobody could really play a guitar or drum or whatever, you know, but we were depending on machines and on sequences stuff, you know, that we could program. And that's what we did.
So here we are 30 years on. Are you surprised that the song Forever Young still has this life?
I'm for sure a little bit surprised about this amount of success and that it's still doing so good. But if you think about it and get the idea of the song, it's in a way, yeah, explains itself, you know. And there are a few things about the whole production that makes it true and evergreen, because it has no, it doesn't sound like a certain time, you know. It sounds timeless in a way, and that's it's probably the reason for that, plus the title.
So when you're doing this super deluxe edition of the album, what was it like to go back to these original tapes and create this remaster?
For me, it really felt like going through old movies, because I mean, when you're going through these tapes, all the pictures from the past come up, and all the stories, all these anecdotes, what happened then, and listening to certain tracks, like, well, oh yeah, that was that one. And all this comes to your mind when listening to Marian's voice. And I always got these pictures from 1984 when we did this the production. That was absolutely great to do that.
So I think everyone's super excited to see that Alphaville is still going strong in some form after 30 years plus. So what are the plans for 2019?
Well, I mean, we release a year ago we released another album called Strange Attractor, and every 3 or 4 or 5 years we release a new album. We're very slow workers, and I mean, at the moment we're in the studio doing another album with the working title Thunder Baby, and we're touring quite a lot, and that we're doing the usual thing. We're working on a kind of biographic theater play, you know. But well, as I look at it at the moment, it will be much much funnier than it sounds like. So. We have lots of projects going at the moment.
So let's play a what-if game here. If Alphaville was only known simply for the song Forever Young, would that make you guys happy?
For me, you know, I mean, I met Bernard and he presented me the music for this song. You know, it was just a big present for me, you know. That I had the opportunity to add something to this. And I mean, it would be perfectly for me, you know, it would be good, you know, like that. And I don't have a problem. I mean, sometimes people are asking us, oh, you always have to play Forever Young because Japan sounds like Melody of Jet Set or all these older songs. And I think it's a privilege to have, you know, like a couple of world hits in your luggage, you know, when you're traveling and playing. So, no, I wouldn't have the slightest problem with that.
It is a privilege, as Marian says, but... from my own perception, it's like it's not only Forever Young, it's just Forever Young that stuck out. But in the end, I wouldn't have a problem when it would have been like that.
You know, for us, you know, the great thing was just, I mean, when we started, we were really dreaming, like getting into the... Well, they call it a business, you know, but for us, is a business sounds very much like work, you know. I mean, there are two things for me as a musician, you know, two reasons how I became a musician was, first, I'm not working anymore. Secondly, I'm growing older, but I don't have to be grown up. You know, these two things. And you know, this is fantastic. I mean, this is fantastic, and it worked out for us, you know, so far. You know, I became 64 this month, and so I'm in this business since more than 30 years, and it's just an amazing experience, you know, and I'm very, very happy about that. So this is the most important thing, you know, that we can carry on doing our music and having great songs.
Well, I think that's a good place to stop as any. So I want to thank both Marian and Bernard for being here on the Rhino podcast. And we're really looking forward to digging in deep and taking a dive into this deluxe edition of Forever Young. Forever Young, I want to be.
Now let's drop in on Dennis and John as they dive even deeper into the 35th anniversary super deluxe edition of Alphaville's Forever Young.
We couldn't let John Hughes go yet because we need to dig a little deeper into this new super deluxe edition of Alphaville's Forever Young. Hi, John. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Dennis.
It's good to be here. We're here in the Rhino HQ.
Yeah.
Good place to be.
I like it.
I do too. Comfy sofa. So I've always been meaning to ask you, and this is kind of a global question. When did your passion for new wave and 80s overall start.
Oh my God. So, you know, it's just, I don't know what it was. I think I grew up definitely a pop kid, less than a rock kid, which was very strange for someone from Cleveland, Ohio. Instead of joining with my classmates into digging Boston, Kansas, and other bands named after geographic areas, I was really into things like the Human League and OMD and stuff like that. And I was definitely a black sheep in Ohio, that's for sure. And, you know, my tastes have always expanded and grown since then, but I think you always have a soft spot for what you grew up with.
Of course, you and I are both 21.
I'll admit to being 29.
Yeah, me too. But 35 years for Alphaville. And as we heard, Forever Young remastered for the first time with additional bonus material. What makes this band iconic to you?
I think it's one of those tracks. I always use it as an example. It's one of those tracks like Modern English, I Melt With You. Wasn't huge when it came out, wasn't a top 40 hit, didn't kind of cross over to the mainstream back then, at least in the US, it didn't. Different story overseas for sure. But in the years since, it's just one of those songs that just would not let go of the public consciousness. And so now, you know, Forever Young's played at proms. I would have killed in 1986 for it to be played at my prom. But, you know, here I am, the only guy in the school with that album. So I think it's just, it's a message that just resonates across generations.
So let's dig in a bit. We're going to get back to Forever Young, the track itself. But let's start with a couple of the deeper tracks.
Like, I'm in.
For example, Sounds Like a Melody.
Again, probably a bigger hit.
Another single.
Overseas than Forever Young, which is really strange. The video is a blast. Go on YouTube and look for the video. There's a chroma key to Ice Skaters. That's all I'll say. Great song. What's really cool is the fans brought Marion and Alphaville to the U.S. to play the Whiskey last year. They actually did kind of like a Kickstarter crowdfunding thing, and they actually brought him out here to play it, and that was one of the songs. They played two nights, and they played Sounds Like a Melody, and it probably got one of the biggest ovations from the crowd.
What's another track that people probably would just skip over in a singles world today?
Fallen Angel. Fallen Angel is probably the dark horse of that record. I love that song. And the vocal performance alone, it just makes it. It's great.
So I love the words, it's not just deluxe, it's super deluxe.
Super deluxe.
So tell me a couple of things. You alluded to the book, but tell me a couple of things on this release, either sonically or physically, that are just going to make people go, wow.
The fact that it's remastered for the first time since 1985, that's a big deal. Because those early CD issues, you know, if you're an audiophile, you kind of prefer them, honestly, because they're flat, you can tweak it and do what you want. But this was remastered with Bernhard, like basically doing it himself. So you have the band really involved. You have this new sonically appealing palette that kind of exposes things you didn't hear in the background before. It totally becomes a headphone record, which I don't know if you would say that before. I also think the fact that all the demos are on here is amazing. You get to hear these songs as they're kind of being built from the ground up. And you've got this great documentary that comes with it on the DVD and all the music videos. And it's just one-stop shopping for this record. I think this is probably the definitive version.
So back to the demos, so we have an opportunity to play a track. What's one of the demos that people will be blown away in the form that it's in versus its final form?
Oh, Forever Young. It's you know, you probably know that Forever Young had two versions. There was a dance version, and then there was the more popular ballad version. So the demo is interesting. I won't spoil it for you, but the demo for Forever Young is great.
more on the Forever Young tip. It was released three different times. And, well, rumor has it, actually it's more than a rumor, that Laura Branigan was going to be recorded, and that's why it was released another time.
That wouldn't surprise me, because she was on Atlantic in the U.S., and Alphaville, although they were signed in Germany to WEA, they were on Atlantic in the U.S. So that wouldn't surprise me. There's probably a lot of cross-pollination going on back then.
Yeah, the other reason that they're bigger than we all think they are is soundtracks. Listen to Me, Napoleon Dynamite, mm-hmm. 30 Rock.
Right.
So they might be one of those bands that people don't know. But when they hear this for the first time, which so many people will probably come to these, you know, to these songs and this record for the first time.
You play Forever Young for people and, you know, they immediately glom onto it and they know what it is. Surprisingly hard song to do at karaoke. Don't get fooled.
I'm not going to even try. And then there's Jay-Z and Kanye.
I mean, enough said. I mean, that brought it to yet another new generation. So I think the closest thing to it probably is like Take On Me by A-ha. It's one of those songs that just keeps getting rediscovered over and over again as new generations come up.
Forever young, I wanna be. Hey, may the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. But we ain't even thinking that far. You know what I mean? So we living life like a video. Where the sun is always out and you never get old. And the champagne's always cold and the music's always good. And the pretty girls just happen to stop by in the hood. And
as a good close, because we started kind of, you know, at the top here, synth pop, that famous quote genre.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Alphaville fit or where does it not?
I think they fit firmly in that realm. I think they embrace it. In fact, I know they embrace it. It's something that they're very proud of with their Germanic history, with the land of Kraftwerk being a direct influence on them. I think that they know what they are, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, I remember, you know, talking about synthpop in general, I remember how revolutionary it was to see the Human League go on stage with a reel-to-reel tape player, press play, and there's the drums, and you've got two guys playing keyboards as dispassionately as possible, staring straight ahead, not engaging with the audience. And then you had this guy that looked like, you know, the next best thing to Diana Ross, and two girls who kind of couldn't sing or dance. And it was like such a middle finger to rock and roll. And it was punk. It was as punk as punk was. And so I've always embraced synth pop. I think it's really cool.
Well, as usual, it's fun to geek out here on the Rhino podcast on definitively iconic things. So to close, make sure people know what we're talking about here.
It's Forever Young, the Super Deluxe Edition. It is out now on all platforms. But, you know, this is one I think you kind of have to get the physical to really appreciate the physical version of this. It's incredible. And if you're a casual fan, it's on streaming services. But if you really want to dig deep into this and kind of rediscover this record, the German team at Warner Music have done just a fantastic job on this. They did a great job. It's a great package.
She takes me away and she's playing the strings when she's playing with love. And she's playing with love.
Dennis, did your conversation with John jog any Alphaville memories for you?
Well, I have to be transparent. I remembered the band for one song. I remembered them for Big in Japan. That was my personal story. But when John and I got into it, it became just a whole discussion of the era and what made Alphaville so influential in synth pop land. It was populated by Human League and Thompson Twins and so many of these bands. But Alphaville, when this Super Deluxe Edition is in people's hands, and particularly in their ears, they're going to have their own geek out, Rich.
The Alphaville Forever Young 35th Anniversary Super Deluxe Edition is available now. It's in stores. You can stream it. You can pick it up at your favorite local record shop. The physical is a 3-CD DVD LP set. It's got everything. You're really going to be able to dive into the nooks and crannies of this release. If you loved it when it came out, this is for you. Thanks very much for tuning in. Don't forget to listen and subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss the next Rhino podcast. Executive producer for Rhino Entertainment, John Hughes. Produced for Rhino Entertainment by Pop Cult and Rich Mahan Promotions. All rights reserved.